tonight I would like to talk about the way things as they are, as it is, without our feelings or emotions, what we think, what our views, what our opinions, doesn't really matter. Things are as they are. The brick is hard, the water is soft, and then if we say, no, the brick is soft, then if you try and bang against the brick wall, then you hurt. That sort of things. The sun is hot, you know. These are the things. Nobody created, nobody made them to be hot. Things are as they are. So, not to see these things as they are is somehow, Buddha called ignorance, not seeing, not knowing, avijja. And because of this not seeing, not knowing, it leads to, Buddha called it sankhara, things happening, avijja, paccaya, sankhara. So, these are the things, from the start, the Buddha pointed out that ignorance is the one that is leading us to everything happening. So just now, you know, Ming and Jim asked me whether, you know, if you don't believe in afterbirth, reincarnation, you can't be a Buddhist. So, in this context of things as they are, as it is, we can look at it. You know, what is a Buddhist? Isn't it? What is a Buddhist? Can we make somebody a Buddhist? Can we make ourselves a Buddhist? Or can we make ourselves, unmake ourselves a Buddhist? Nobody can do that. Nobody can make someone a Buddhist or not a Buddhist. They practice themselves, or the Buddhist way of life, what Buddha has taught. Nobody can really make somebody, you know, to become a Buddhist. We can have ceremonials like, you know, asking five precepts and then taking three refuges, and then we nominate ourselves Buddhist in front of a monk or a nun or a practicing lay person. But that is undertaking. That is undertaking. You undertake to follow the way of Buddhist way of life, to live a life as such and practice what Buddha has taught. That's the undertaking. But you haven't done anything yet. You go and join a tennis club, isn't it? Next day you think you can go and play with Roger Federer, isn't it? You haven't done anything, you just join it, that's all. Then you have to practice and practice and practice. Find out what are the rules and regulations, how to hit the ball, how to play. Then that sort of things, you, after you learned, you practice again and again. How is the forehand stroke? How is the backhand stroke? How is the serve? You have to find out and you have to learn. And after you know it, it doesn't mean that you can do those things. Backhand and forehand and serving. And you have to practice again and again. Just because you go and practice 2-3 days doesn't mean you get it all. And then start playing with Roger Federer. You won't even get a point. So, what it's saying is, once you, you know, take the, you know, undertaking to follow the Buddhist way of life, and then you think you are a Buddhist. No, you're not. You haven't practiced yet. And you have to find out what Buddha taught. Then you start practicing. And even when you start practicing, doesn't mean that, you know, you're there, isn't it? Just because you go and practice 2-3 days, you don't really master it yet. And then you think you're so peaceful and you are getting enlightened, suddenly you go out and drive on the road and then some car do something silly and then you become really angry. There you go, all your enlightenment and all your peacefulness. So much so for the practice. So much so for the meditation. So who make Buddhists? Are you a Buddhist then in that situation, isn't it? Are you following a Buddhist way of life? You are getting angry there. So this is a good example of what, you know, Buddhism is all about. Who can make you a Buddhism? Who cannot make you a Buddhism? Nobody can. Only the practice. After learning what the Buddha is taught, then you start practicing. And from the practice, again and again, meditate, you know. You know, every day at least 5-10 minutes, you know, to half an hour, more than an hour. You meditate regularly, at least 2-3 times a week. Then from that, with your life experience, you develop wisdom from this calmness. And after that, you come to realize how to control your mind. And when situation arises, you come to remember which tool to use that Buddha has taught us. And using those tools and getting the relief from this pain and suffering, from this anger, from this frustration, from this ill will aversion, from this jealousy, from this wanting to give revenge because somebody hurts you. You can't forget, you can't forgive. You want to hurt that person, you want to give back something because that person has hurt you so much. Can't let go, can't let them get away like that because they'll be always like that if you don't give them a lesson. That's what the mind is saying. Go on, give them a good lesson. Give them back something, you know, that will really hurt them. Where's the Buddhist way, isn't it? So when it comes like that, you have to dig into the wisdom and the practice. You have to come to realize that what you're seeing there is the ignorance that you're staring straight at in the face of ignorance. And the Buddha said, ignorance is the main cause, the starting point of all these things. So when we start seeing this, we start using wisdom, wisdom in a perspective. Okay, this person hurts me that much, I'm going to give revenge now, a big revenge. I'm going to do something that will hurt his life really bad, right? Okay, you do it, isn't it? Then will you be happy with your practice? One day when you realize that, oh, I have undertaken to live the Buddhist way, and now I have done this, then that conscious of goodness, morality, haunts you, eats you up, gnaws at you. Every minute, every moment, day by day, week by week, year by year. The more you practice to purify yourself, the more it hurts you. Because you have harmed somebody else in your life. So at the moment it seems to be a very good idea to go and do something that will really hurt them. But then, coming to realize, penetrating through the ignorance, you come to see that. That's how it all started. That's how it all started. Here we are fighting, you know, in the world, all the clashes, all the conflicts, all the armies fighting each other, tribal wars fighting each other. That come from this. This wanting to revenge, wanting to take out on people because they hurt us. That's where it is starting from. And then it never ends. You never win because they're going to come back too. It's a cycle, isn't it? Look at in Ireland, how long the cycle lasted. For thousands of years, isn't it? That happens about, you know, many hundreds of years ago. They were trying to live it out still and trying to kill each other until one day the leaders come to realize that that is not the way anymore. There will be no peace, and the cycle will keep going. And the same thing everywhere you see, the hatred that has been, you know, accumulated since many hundreds of years ago, keep going on and on, never ending. So, seeing this, you apply wisdom. That feeling, that intense feeling coming up inside us, with wisdom, you let it go, because it is a thing that will never bring peace and happiness into anyone's life. So you start thinking, do I want peace and happiness? Or do I want to keep fighting with no peace, loss of time, it's time consuming, loss of materials, loss of wealth, loss of friends, loss of goodness in the heart. The heart become hard, it become very frigid, it's a barren land, like an arid barren land, nothing stays there, nothing can survive there. You don't want to be like that, you want to be happy, you want to have peacefulness. Then you come to see from this forgiveness, forgiveness the one that brings, you know, peace and happiness. Because when people are in this ignorant state, that's what they do. And we are somehow, even though we know that this ignorance is the one that leads to all these unhappiness, hatred and killings, we harbor it, we live in it. So that's how it is. Then in that state, when there is no wisdom, that when there is no practice of the mind, how can you be a Buddhist? Isn't it? How can you be a Buddhist? You believe in Buddha, you believe in his teachings, you know. You offer flower to him, you offer lights and incense to him, you pray to him so many times a day. Still, how can you be a Buddhist when you don't understand his teachings? Isn't it? Then it shows that what he teach, you know, this ignorance that it starts from, that's where the journey starts from there, seeing this ignorance of the ignorance what it's making. Life's unhappy, misery, couples breaking up, children's being abused, friends going apart. These are the ones that's coming from this ignorance. After seeing this, where it starts from, then we come to realize that the rest doesn't matter anymore. What matters is to break through this ignorance and to see things as it is. So if you think, you know, if you're a Buddhist, you must believe that there are cycles of life. Or, you know, if you don't believe in it, which is called Uccheda Deity, that means there is no life after death. Or if you believe that the mind is a constant thing from infancy up until now, Buddha says Santeti, that means, you know, you're still ignorant, not understanding that things are changing, impermanent nature of things. You think your mind, since you were born, is still a continuous thing. Isn't it? But the main thing is, whether you believe them or not, because Buddhism don't dwell on believing things. Buddhism dwell on investigating things and finding out the answer from these investigations, isn't it? So, will you not practice Buddhism if you found out that, you know, you don't go to heaven or hell after you die? Or will you practice if you believe that after life there'll be other lives and there will be heavens and hells too? Then will you only then practice Buddhism? Isn't it? What's the point of believing in them? Isn't it? Buddha said, it's like a man hit by an arrow. And the man, instead of accepting the treatment, said, I want to know who shot this arrow. What caste is he from? And what is this arrow made of? You know, what wood? so on and so forth. And Buddha said, if you keep on going, you know, wanting to know these things, and not giving attention to immediate cause that he's been suffering from this arrow wound, and to get the treatment, he will have died before he found out who shot the arrow and what sort of person he is, what caste he's from. The same thing, you know. When we die, whether there is afterlife, no afterlife, what, it's not much important. What it is now that is suffering and pain from this life that we are facing day in and day out. To see this that's coming from this ignorance and to practice what Buddha has said is more important. That is, curing the arrow wound, taking the arrow out and taking the treatment, whatever treatment is necessary, isn't it? With the afterlife things, it's up to you. We in Buddhism, we believe in karma. Karma is what action we do now, there's the consequences. And this action, this present moment, come from the past. Past moment. What we did in the past moment, good or bad, we are experiencing in this moment, that good or bad, that is following us. And what we're doing now, good or bad, we'll experience in the future life, or future moments. So according to this process of karma, we can somehow conclude that because of this life, what we do in this life, and good or bad, will somehow follow to the next life. Because that's how karma works. Because of one existence, one causal or causes and conditions shape another moment, another time period. There, you know, results there. And what we act, what we do in that future period will again shape the forthcoming future period. So in that sense, it is reasonably good to believe that, you know, after the life after life, on what we do in this life will carry over. And it is also in a broader perspective good to believe that, because then, you know, if you know that there are cycle of life, you have an incentive to do good in this life. Good in this life. And if you believe that there is no life after that, and if you do whatever you like, killing people, cheating, evil-minded, done all sort of, you know, harmful things to other people, what happens? Just in case, what happens? If there is afterlife and things called hell and heaven and things like that, will you end up there and suffering, you know, for a long period of time? Isn't it? So these are the things from this life we cannot prove or unprove. But logically, it is a good way to accept that what action we do now will carry to the future period. And this action we are, the results we are having now, the state we are having in, is the result of the past moments. So from this life also to the next life, the same can be applied. But it doesn't really matter, because what we practice now in this life is more important. That will relieve us from this pain, sorrow and grief of this world, which we are facing every day, confronting them every day. So to have this relief, to have peace and happiness, it is very beneficial for us to practice what Buddha has taught. So, in a sense, things are as they are. Nobody can make you a Buddhist or unmake you a Buddhist. What you see, what you realize through your practice, through your wisdom, is more important. Isn't it? There are many people in the world doing many good things, even though they are not Buddhists. But that's what Buddhists would do. Kindness to other people, you know, compassion, helping other people, isn't it? So these are the things that they are, even though they are not Buddhists, they are universal good values they are practicing. And we support and we somehow respect them. And we cooperate with them and we do things together with them to help other people in this world. So if you look at it, Buddhism or not Buddhism is just a label. Just a label. What you practice inside, whether you're Buddhist or non-Buddhist, that is more important. But of course, in Buddhism, there is a guidelines and tools that Buddha has set out and Buddha has provided us to use in many situations where we are having pain, sorrow and grief of this world to relieve ourselves from these situations. Otherwise, we'll be thinking that, you know, things are, you know, we have to believe in something to become Buddhist. We have to do some rituals to become Buddhist. These rituals and, you know, ceremonies, etc., you know, develop out of appreciation and gratitude to Buddha and the Sangha, the a community of monks that he has created, with gratitude and, you know, with respect. And we develop it with devotion, you know, like putting flowers on the shrine, lighting candles, lighting incense, as well as to reflect that the flowers, as they look so beautiful now, but one day, a few weeks, a few days, they'll be, you know, wilted, dried up, and not beautiful anymore. Impermanent nature of things. When we offer the lights to the Buddha, it's a symbol of you know, wisdom that, you know, in the dark, where you can't see anything, you have the light, then you can see. So in the, you know, everyday, you know, journey when we are lost, you know, we can't see anymore. Buddhist wisdom that shines us through our heart and see our way through to balance our life, to balance our mind. These are the symbols. The incense is the reputation of a practitioner, a lay Buddhist who are practicing well. The good values, like a fragrant flower, you know, that carries by the wind. Everyone, when they have this beautiful, sweet fragrance, they feel happy. They benefit out of it. So these are the symbols that develop later on to show our gratitude and respect to Buddha, our appreciations. So they are just rituals and ceremonies. They are not practice. But they are also helpful for people, you know, to be able to do these things to show our gratitude. But the main thing is to practice, to realize what Buddha has actually taught, not to live in these ignorant states of mind, to see through things as they are, and then live life as it is, isn't it? So when you live with your family, when you live with your friends, when you live with your colleagues, this same principle applies. Don't go with emotions. Go with understanding of life. They may be saying something because they had a fight at home, or their home life is unhappy, or they have something happen, or what we unknowingly done something might have affected them, or something like that. So if you're a practicing Buddhist, you don't take them seriously at all. You try to understand what their needs are. You're trying to make them happy, and you know, create harmony and peace. Of course, if somebody keep on trying and, you know, bullying you, and, you know, unnecessarily giving pressure on you, and unfairly doing it all the time, then there are mechanisms in this world that we can do: take actions, take proper complaint procedures, or, you know, reporting systems, or, you know, through the networking of friends and, you know, etc. You know, you control the situation. So these are the Buddhist wisdom. Instead of confronting to become more enemies, we somehow try to protect ourselves. That is important as well. At the same time, we have no harm, even to those people who harm us. No thoughts of harm to them, but we need to protect ourselves. So, in a sense, to summarize, you know, nobody can make you a Buddhist or unmake you a Buddhist. It is what you practice, what you realize, what you follow, that is more important. What you believe or what you not believe doesn't really matter, because things are as they are. If you break through this ignorance and look carefully, it doesn't matter what you think, what you believe, because things are as they are. Thank you very much.